By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine, and the sun will rise and shine.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyid al-Anbiya wal-Mursaleen. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. My dear viewers of Madani Channel, Alhamdulillah, Azza wa Jal, you are watching Rise and Shine this very, very beautiful morning. Alhamdulillah, Azza wa Jal. I'll tell you something now. Every single morning, especially whilst I'm presenting Rise and Shine, I feel like it's nice, sunny and bright. Although if I was to go outside, I know I was only outside a few minutes ago. And especially, you know, if you have a shower in the early morning and then you're coming out, you need to be very, very careful too. But whatever the weather condition, we should always thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My dear viewers, we are going to move straight to the tilawat. Sallu al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim.
Main Allah ta'ala ki panah mein aata hoon, shaytan-e-mardood se.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
اللہ کے نام سے شروع جو نہایت مہربان رحم والا.
افحسب الذين كفروا ان يتخذوا عبادي من دوني اولیاء.
تو کیا کافر یہ سمجھے ہیں کہ میرے بندوں کو میرے سوا حمایتی بنا لیں گے؟
اِنَّا اَعْتَدْنَا جَهَنَّمَ لِلْكَافِرِينَ نُزُلًا.
بے شک ہم نے کافروں کی مہمانی کو جہنم تیار کر رکھی ہے.
قُلْ هَلْ نُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِالْأَخْسَرِينَ أَعْمَالًا.
تم فرماؤ کیا ہم تمہیں بتا دیں کہ سب سے بڑھ کر ناقص عمل کن کے ہیں؟
الذين ضل سعيهم في الحياة الدنيا وهم يحسبون انهم يحسنون صنعا.
ان کے جن کی ساری کوشش دنیا کی زندگی میں گم گئی اور وہ اس خیال میں ہیں کہ ہم اچھا کام کر رہے ہیں.
اولئك الذين كفروا بآيات ربهم ولقائه فحبطت أعمالهم فلا نقيم لهم يوم القيامة وزنا.
یہ لوگ ہیں جنہوں نے اپنے رب کی آیتیں اور اس کا ملنا نہ مانا تو ان کا کیا دھرا سب اکارت یعنی ضائع ہے، تو ہم ان کے لیے قیامت کے دن کوئی تول نہ قائم کریں گے.
ذَلِكَ جَزَاؤُهُمْ جَهَنَّمُ بِمَا كَفَرُوا وَاتَّخَذُوا آيَاتِي وَرُسُلِي هُزُوًا.
یہ ان کا بدلہ ہے جہنم اس پر کہ انہوں نے کفر کیا اور میری آیتوں اور میرے رسولوں کی ہنسی بنائی.
اِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ كَانَتْ لَهُمْ جَنَّاتُ الْفِرْدَوْسِ نُزُلًا.
بے شک جو ایمان لائے اور اچھے کام کیے، فردوس کے باغ ان کی مہمانی ہے.
خالدین فیہا لا يبغون عنها حولا.
وہ ہمیشہ ان میں رہیں گے، ان سے جگہ بدلنا نہ چاہیں گے.
قُلْ لَوْ كَانَ الْبَحْرُ مِدَادًا لِكَلِمَاتِ رَبِّي لَنَفِدَ الْبَحْرُ قَبْلَ أَن تَنْفَدَ كَلِمَاتُ رَبِّي وَلَوْ جِئْنَا بِمِثْلِهِ مَدَدًا.
تم فرما دو اگر سمندر میرے رب کی باتوں کے لیے سیاہی ہو تو ضرور سمندر ختم ہو جائے گا اور میرے رب کی باتیں ختم نہ ہوں گی اگرچہ ہم ویسا ہی اور اس کی مدد کو لے آئیں.
قُلْ إِنَّمَا أَنَا بَشَرٌ مِثْلُكُمْ يُوحَى إِلَيَّ أَنَّمَا إِلَهُكُمْ إِلَهٌ وَاحِدٌ.
تم فرماؤ ظاہر صورت بشری میں تو میں تم جیسا ہوں، مجھے وحی آتی ہے کہ تمہارا معبود ایک ہی معبود ہے.
فَمَن كَانَ يَرْجُو لِقَاءَ رَبِّهِ فَلْيَعْمَلْ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا وَلَا يُشْرِكْ بِعِبَادَةِ رَبِّهِ أَحَدًا.
تو جسے اپنے رب سے ملنے کی امید ہو اسے چاہیے کہ نیک کام کرے اور اپنے رب کی بندگی میں کسی کو شریک نہ کرے.
صدق اللہ العظیم.
صلوا علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ تعالی علیہ وعلی آلہ وسلم. ماشاءاللہ عز و جل, that chapter, that surah was Surah Al-Kahf, and they were the last verses too, which we have just heard. I did mention that there were a few famous stories, if you wish, within this particular surah. And mashallah, the last and final one was that they ask you, yas'alunaka an, about whom? Hazrat Dhulqarnain is how generally known as. Hazrat Dhulqarnain radiallahu ta'ala anhu. This person, my dear viewers, as we mentioned, he was not a prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but rather a slave, a servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the story of his is not a very long one, but that he traveled from one point to the other point of the earth. And this was known as Dhulqarnain. He's traveled to both sides of the earth. He's traveled to the far west where the sun sets. This is as it's known, where the sun sets. It's generally known as the west. He's traveled to the far west. And he has also traveled to the far east. And this is why it's known as Dhulqarnain. He's traveled to where the sun rises to. And then he traveled to a midpoint too. And when he did travel there, he heard from a people of a foreign language who could barely, you know, they were barely able to understand each other's language. And they requested and they asked. Well, first they told him the situation that there's a Ya'juj Ma'juj you must have heard of. The Ya'juj Ma'juj, translated in various ways, my dear viewers, in the English language, but it's quite famous, Ya'juj Ma'juj. It stated these were two tribes and they would cause havoc on the earth. And these people, they complained to Hazrat Dhulqarnain radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And Hazrat Dhulqarnain radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said to them and he aided them. They offered him money. He says, Allah ta'ala has given me more. Remember, he was one of the leaders of the entire world, Hazrat Dhulqarnain radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So there were four individuals who have ruled over the entire world, over the entire earth. Two were Muslims and two were non-Muslims. So the two Muslims was one, Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, also a prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the second Madhavi was Hazrat Dhulqarnain radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who we just heard about and has been mentioned by name within the glorious Quran. The two non-Muslims, one Nimrud, famous Nimrud during the time of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, and another Nebuchadnezzar. Nevertheless, Madhavi was, the Alhamdulillah, we've listened to the tilawat of the glorious Quran, Surah Al-Kahf. And inshallah, a time will come very soon when we think, you know, subhanAllah, we've completed the glorious Quran, inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to listen to the Quran regularly, to read and recite the glorious Quran regularly too, inshallah. We have listened to the tilawat of the glorious Quran. Let's move on to the Na'chif, and something I've not mentioned today is make good intentions. Because the more good intentions you make, the more reward you shall gain, inshallah. Let's move to the Na'at Sharif of the greatest of all mankind, the peace of our hearts and our minds, the most generous and kind, the last and final prophet and messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rasulullah Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam. صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وسلم.
الله 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 الله, الله
الليل دجى من وفرته هنور سهر چہرے سے تیرے اور شب کی رونق زلفوں سے اللہ 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 نعمت کا خزینہ ہے مولا گنجینہ رحمت ہے آقا ہادی ہے تمامی امت کے اور راہنما ہے شریعت کے اللہ 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 سعتی شجر نطاق الحجر شق القمر بإشارته انگلی کے اشارے پیڑ چلے اعجاز سے پتھر بول اٹھے اور چاند ہوا ہے دو ٹکڑے انگوشت کے ایک اشارے سے اللہ 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 جبریل اتا لیلۃ اسرا والرب دعاه لحضرته جبریل امین پیغام خدا لے کر آئے تھے شب اسرا معراج پہ ان کو بلوایا قربت کا شرف ان کو بخشا اللہ 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 فمحمد
فَالْعِزُّ لَنَا بِإِجَابَتِهِ تو محمد ہے اپنے آقا اس نام سے اپنی عز و بقا طوفان میں جب یہ نام لیا پھر ڈوبتوں کو ہے کنارہ ملا
محمد صلی اللہ تعالی علیہ وعلی آلہ وسلم. Dear viewers of Madani Channel, mashallah azza wa jal, you are watching Rise and Shine, alhamdulillah azza wa jal. Now this beautiful morning, mashallah, it's just one thing after another. Mashallah, we're listening to Surah Al-Kahf, we've completed the recitation of Surah Al-Kahf, as well as this. Dear viewers of Madani Channel, we mashallah azza wa jal also have just listened to a beautiful narrative of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wasallam, describing the beauty of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wasallam. Yes, the beautiful, the traits, the characteristics of the greatest of all mankind, the last and final prophet and messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wasallam. And honestly, the wording is just phenomenal, mashallah azza wa jalla. It should bring us happiness. Yes, alhamdulillah, it brings me happiness, especially listening to such. And that's when you understand it too. This is another, this is something else that many times we listen to, because the majority of the times what the kalams we hear are either in the Urdu language or sometimes in the Arabic language, and very rarely are we able to understand it. But if you are able to understand it, then you know, it becomes so much more enjoyable, alhamdulillah, just listening to it. MashaAllah, it rejuvenates the person. It's energizing. It, MashaAllah, brings about happiness too, comfort within a person's eyes, within a person's heart, within a person's mind, that is. Nevertheless, my dear viewers of Madani Channel, please do remember, Rise and Shine was the purpose of Rise World, as well as to spread Islamic knowledge. That is the purpose of Rise and Shine, my dear viewers of Madani Channel, is to spread happiness, to spread hope. Yes, people will be saddened. Remember, it's a new morning. The sun has risen once more. My dear viewers of Madani Channel, we must begin our day by thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by saying Alhamdulillah, by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Know that all praise, every type of praise is subhanallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And be hopeful. Whatever difficulties you may have experienced, whatever it may have been, inshallah, remember that alhamdulillah, Allah ta'ala has given us another chance, another opportunity. Yes, learn from those things which took part in history, but that's what I said, and this is why it's known as a present. You know, the present, this time that we are in right now, this is known as a present. What's a present? A present is a gift. It's a gift, a present to you that we still have the chance. We have the chance for what? We have the chance to, you know, change ourselves. We have the chance to better ourselves, to develop ourselves. And if you're someone in channel to repent from previous sins, Allah Ta'ala has again given us a chance, alhamdulillah. And, you know, subhanallah, Ta'ala gives us many chances, my dear viewers, but it's up to us, because we don't know how many chances we have, we don't know how long we shall be here, and the point is, we must repent, inshallah, for each and every single one of our sins, and be hopeful, be happy, be positive, yes, be positive, So many people are very, very negative. Be positive, inshallah, azza wa jal. Be happy. Alhamdulillah. You know, we have iman, and this is the greatest thing that anybody can have. And for those that may not be believers, for those that may not be Muslims, I would like to invite them too to embrace this beautiful and perfect religion. Alhamdulillah, the most complete, the complete way of life, the greatest, and alhamdulillah, the religion of complete subservience is to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those commandments we find within the glorious Quran, within the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. To love a person, to love who? The greatest of all mankind, Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, and follow in their blessed footsteps. Yes, alhamdulillahi azza wa jalla, this is the beautiful religion of Islam. Now, today we have a very, very important topic. Today, my dear viewers, we shall be speaking about something which we've heard many a time, especially these words. We've heard these words many a time. What are these words? Halal, haram. These words are words we've heard many times. This is a halal. And many times, in fact, when we think about halal, we think of food. So we'll be like, oh, especially when you're living in, it's not, now it's something we need to consider, not everywhere, but this is food I'm speaking about. We do need to be very, very careful everywhere, because sadly, even, you know, in Muslim countries, food that is, it won't always be halal, will it? Sometimes it's possible it may not be halal. But majority of times, okay, in Muslim countries, maybe that's fine, it would be halal. And especially those living in non-Muslim countries, that's where it becomes a problem. And this is why even as kids, whenever we go to the shop, we have to be very, very careful, because sometimes we're picking something up and our parents say, oh, no, that's not halal, that's haram. And then you think, okay, what we do know is halal, that means you're allowed. Haram, that means you're not allowed. This is what we think. And whenever we think haram or halal, or halal or haram, we always think about food. And this is how it is, you know, as youngsters this is. Oh, this is haram, you're not allowed these. So you pick up sweets and you think, oh, these sweets have this in it. They have gelatin in it. They have, oh, no, this is haram, you're not allowed to eat this. Or this food, or this is haram, you're not allowed to eat this. Or this here, these are, if it says halal, and sometimes people think, if it says halal, then it must be halal. That's a separate matter. But the point is, whenever we think about food, or whenever we think about halal and haram, we always think about food. Well, this is personal. This is my experience ever since I was a kid. And this is something many people in non-Muslim countries, this is what they experience. They think, you know, there's, they have sections of alcohol. And you think, oh, no, alcohol is haram. Okay, then we're not going to drink alcohol. So we're told we're not allowed to drink alcohol, it's haram. Okay, these sweets, it has these things in them. So as we were kids, we've been told this is halal, this is haram. But most of the time it's food only. Most of the time, whenever we use these words halal or we use the word haram, it's majority, 99% of times is pertains to food. That's because of the place we are living in. But halal or haram is not limited or restricted to only what food. No, there are other things which are halal, there are other things which are haram. For a person, my dear viewers, to perform particular actions would be halal or haram too. So there's categories, aren't there? So halal, to say simply, halal means that thing which is permitted. And haram is that thing which is not permitted. And haram, my dear viewers of Madinah Shalom, are those things we have been ordered, commanded to refrain from. And halal are those things we can go towards, or things which we can perform, those things which we can do, whether it's food or whether it's anything else that is. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, within the glorious Quran, Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, throughout his life, some things have been permitted for us, some things have been prohibited. But yes, it's different categories. So haram, like right at the top. And then we have other things which are known as like, but generally people just know this makruh. But the Ahnaf and some others, they differentiate makruh as to what type of makruh it is. So it's disliked. Is it highly disliked? Or is it slightly disliked? So these are the sort of things. And there's also other things such as isa'ah, which is a sin. There's also something which is just to refrain from. But my day view was, the majority of the time, as we said, halal and haram refers to what? Our earning. And this is another thing we hear quite famously, that your income, is your income halal or is it haram? So you would say that this person, and this is a huge problem in fact we have, I'll tell you a huge problem we have, a very, very big problem we have, in that what we think is that those things which are permitted many times, this is not all the time though, many a time, that those things which are permitted in the country we are living in, that that's halal, and those things which are not, that that's haram. No. The only things which determine what's halal and what is haram is the Quran, the Sunnah. Remember, it is from the Quran, the Sunnah, where we understand what is halal and what is haram. It's not that, oh, just because it's allowed in the country, and this is how people take it. And sometimes, okay, they may not understand it to be halal or haram, but they do understand it to be good or bad. So there are some actions which are frowned upon in society, but Islamically it's not considered, let's just say it's not considered haram. So people will think, oh, that person is doing such and such things, so that means that person is earning a haram income. There are some things, my dear viewers of Madani Channel, which are prohibited in our religion. For example, selling of alcohol. This is prohibited, isn't it? And there's not just selling, there's many things when it pertains to alcohol, whether that's serving, and there's all sorts of things. There's 10 mentioned. Now, selling, buying, etc., alcohol, this is haram, isn't it? But many times in different countries, it's permitted. Now, some people think, oh, you know, he's not doing so bad. You know, a person who's selling alcohol, people will still even praise such a person. And you think, why? Or just because it's allowed in the country. But remember, we are Muslims. And as Muslims, my dear viewers, and as Muslims, there are laws which we must follow, which we must go by. But these laws are not determined by no man. These laws are those Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. These commandments, the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then yes, Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, who yes is a man. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is Bashar. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is Nur. Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam has authority. Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam could determine and could in fact could state something which is prohibited. He could prohibit it. He could prohibit us from performing such actions. Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam possessed authority. And we see this from many places within the glorious Quran. But the point of today's topic, halal and haram, what will we be referring to is income. Whether we are earning halal or whether we are earning haram. Because my dear viewers of Madani Channel, there are many things which are prohibited in our religion. But people sadly they would go and perform those things and they would be earning this haram income. And sometimes, yes, you can say that sometimes earning a halal is difficult. And we have been told within the Ahadith that a time will come and yes, it will be difficult to earn a halal. But my dear viewers of Madani Channel, what we must remember is, and subhanAllah, this is a beautiful example mentioned, that what we must understand is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised to give us sustenance. There's the story of Hazrat Maryam radiallahu ta'ala anha, where Hazrat Maryam radiallahu ta'ala anha, she was the mother of Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. She, whenever Hazrat Zakariya alayhi salatu wasalam, he would come, he would see that Hazrat Maryam radiallahu ta'ala anha, she had various types of fruits, and these fruits were fruits which were not even in season, and he would think, you know, where is it that you got this from? And she said, this is from my Lord. This is by the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the grace of my Lord. I've been given all this. So she was given sustenance. But then a time came, my David, was when she had Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam in her womb, and she traveled. She traveled some distance and then she sat under the tree, and there's a famous story of when Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam came, and you know, she was asked to pull the tree or to pull the branch, and then she was able to take that fruit from the tree. Now throughout her entire life, she was easily given food. That's what the scholars state. Throughout her entire life, she was given it. It's like, as you would say, on the plate. She was given food right there in front of her. But then when she was at this point of difficulty, you know, having a child and being very, very close to deliver, that is. And this is a time of difficulty. And this is something only, subhanAllah, women can truly understand. The difficulties, the pains, the pangs of pregnancy, that is. At that point, she wasn't given it right in front of her, but she had to attain it. She had to do something to gain it. And the scholars say that when you become responsible for others, then you yourself must go and strive for sustenance. So my dear viewers, the point being, what we must understand is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides us all with sustenance. Whether your income is halal or if it's haram, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most merciful, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, each and every single day, He sustains us. Now, it's your choice as to whether you earn that sustenance through a halal means or a haram means. This is your choice. We have been given free will, haven't we? We have been given this choice, whether to earn or whether to act in accordance to the Sharia, whether to perform halal actions or those which are haram. Now, my dear viewers, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving you, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is continuing to sustain you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, you know, you have an income, you have sustenance, if you do not go a single day without eating, well, with some exceptions, and that is, you know, sometimes you can't eat. I remember I personally had a stomach problem many years ago, as a child, many years ago, and I think I was not allowed to eat for about 2 days or so. I was not allowed to eat because I had a stomach problem, and I was told I was not allowed to eat. And that was, you know, severe, but that wasn't because I didn't have the food, I didn't have access to the food, no. Alhamdulillah. But my dear viewers, what was the reason for that? Was due to, you know, medically I was advised, and I was told, in fact, that I was not allowed to eat. So generally, everybody has food to eat. Everyone has food to eat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sustains us all. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided us with food. But as to how we attain that food, there's different options, isn't there? There's a halal and is haram. So these are the two options we have. We can go by one way, the halal, or we can go another, the haram means. Either way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's a famous story of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he once came towards a masjid, and there was possibly a young man, you can say, who was there, and Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he asked him to hold his, if you wish, his robe, his jacket, whatever you wish to call it, and he passes it to him. And then Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he walks into the masjid. He prays his salah, etc. And then he comes out and he sees that that young man's gone, that young man's left. And this is Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, known as Haydar. Yes, he states that, Sammatni ummi Haydar, that my mother has named me Haydar. And Haydar means a lion. He's known as Asadullah, the lion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, he's known as Al-Qarrar, a person who repetitively attacks. You know, people feared him, especially when it came to war. But the topic is not the biography of Hazrat Ali radiallahu an. The point being, he was somebody who was feared. Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu. He comes out of the masjid and that young man's gone. He's gone with his robe or whatever it was that he left with him. Allahu Akbar. Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu, he carries on. He comes across a place, you could say a stall, a shop. And he sees that that same robe that he had, somebody had it there on display. So he comes to that person, he says to him, how is it that you got hold of this? That person says, a young man came and just sold it to me for 2 dirhams. A young man came and sold it to you for 2 dirhams. He said, subhanAllah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had written for this person 2 dirhams. I had the intention that when I come out, and because he held my robe for me, I will give him 2 dirhams. But what did he decide to do? He decided to... So 2 dirhams was written, was in his destiny to attain 2 dirhams. It was his option as to how he attained it. He went and sold it off to this person. SubhanAllah. He earned 2 dirhams. But was that a halal means or was that a haram means? He went and stole it and he sold it off. How can this possibly be halal? Allahu Akbar. Whereas Hazrat Ali radhiallahu anhu, he says, I was going to give him 2 dirhams. But David was the point, and this, I love this story, really. I love this example. This is a beautiful example. And why? Because it shows us that whatever, you know, there's a famous saying, isn't there, that which is between your lips, that which is between your lips and has not been destined for you, if it has not been destined for you, even if it is between your lips, you will never attain it. And that which may be below a mountain, but is in your destiny, and is below a mountain, you shall still attain that. Allahu Akbar. My dear viewers, this honestly, this is the reality. We even see that example about, we even see sometimes you have something, a food particle in your mouth. You know, you may have had a huge meal, but it may be a food particle which is not destined for you. And it may be sometimes you just spit out like a little thing, sometimes you don't even realize it. Sometimes maybe you're eating and you're talking at the same time and you're spitting some food out. Allahu Akbar. Those things which are in our destiny, nobody can stop those from us. Nobody can stop those from us, my dear viewers. And subhanAllah, I remember there was this individual, there was a scholar, mashallah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless him. I was once at a place, and this scholar, mashallah, beautiful personality, honestly, beautiful individual, brilliant brother, you can say. We were at the masjid, and it was a bit of a dawat, you can say, and you know, they invited me, etc. Came and I began to eat, and then that scholar, he came, he walked past, and they stopped him and said, "You come join us and eat." That person like, "Yes, I'll come and eat." And mashallah, they were sitting with him. And there's something they've said that, Allahu Akbar, I'll never forget. Although it's something you may know, but sometimes when it comes from particular people, it has that, you know, that greater meaning to it, doesn't it? And what they said was, they said, subhanAllah, you really don't know where our sustenance comes from. He says something along the lines of, I think today I left my food and I was thinking, what am I going to eat? And subhanAllah, then, you know, a brother just came and called me and look at this, I've got food here and he's my sustenance. He says, Allahu Akbar, Allah Ta'ala always provides for us. And sometimes in ways which you'll never imagine, in ways you'll never imagine, you know, you'll eat such food which you had no desire, you had no intention to eat. Sometimes you're just there and there you go, there's your food. My dear viewers of Madinah channel, we have this choice to earn halal or to earn haram. It is up to us. And we should be very, very careful about the income that we have, about the wealth which we are attaining, the wealth which it is that we are earning. We must be very, very careful about this, my dear viewers. Is it a halal means? Is it haram? And how can we know about this? There's no way but to speak to scholars. Yes. Yes, there are other ways, but the best way is to speak to a scholar. To speak to a scholar, ask this person, you know, these are the things involved in my work. And mashallah, you get many brothers who are brilliant. They'll come, they'll ask you, and they'll be like, oh, this is what I'm doing, or this is what happened. Is this halal? Is it haram? You know, is this allowed? Am I allowed to do this? Am I not? And then you will tell them that you're not allowed to do it. Or you are allowed to do it. Many times this, you are allowed to do it. But if you're not, then there should be understanding too. There are some people who think, oh, okay, I'll come to this person. Sometimes they go to a particular mufti, or many times it's a so-called mufti, just to gain the answer that they want. This is what many people do. And this is another problem we are facing. There's no harm in there being a difference of opinion. But it depends as to what the difference of opinion is in. Now, for you to go from one person to another person, just so that maybe you'll be given some leniency, or maybe this person will say it's okay. No. People nowadays, they make a joke of things. No. Ask and learn about things. Learn about things. Learn about your deen. Learn about what is right and what is wrong. And just the way we learn about the law. We learn about the law, don't we? We know that this is something which is legitimate or it's illegitimate. It's permitted in this country or it's not permitted in this country. Why? Because if we were to do this action, then, oh, this is what's going to happen. Or I could be fined. Or I could be imprisoned. We're worried about these things. So we know the law. We know that I'm not allowed to do this. We know that even simple laws, such as everyday laws, driving, we know that we're not allowed to speed or there's a camera there. If I get caught, then what's going to happen? I'm going to get points on my license. So then we'll be very, very careful. You know, if I have to get so many points, my license is taken off me. There's, you know, all sorts of things which could take place, my dear viewers. Now, we abide by those laws, don't we? Why is it that we don't learn about the laws of Islam? Why is it we don't learn about those? Although the punishment is in the Akhirah. The punishment, my dear viewers, of Madan Shalan is much more severe than the least, the minimum punishment. And the fire of hell is that a person will be made to wear sandals from hell. That it's stated a person's brains will boil due to the heat. Allahu Akbar. This is the minimum form of punishment within the fire of hell. So why is it we don't learn about these things? These are the things we should be learning about. My dear viewers of Madani channel, let's go to the daily reminder and then we shall continue on this topic of halal and haram income. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Once someone abused the son of Sayyidina Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Sayyidina Imam Zainul Abidin radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So instead of being angry and taking revenge on him, he radiallahu ta'ala anhu ordered to give him his blessed kurta and 1,000 dirhams. Someone said, you have gathered 5 habits. Number 1, patience. Number 2, causing no trouble. Number 3, to make him get rid of the thing which makes him away from Allah azza wa jal. Number 4, to persuade him to repent and feel ashamed. Number 5, to persuade him to start praising after he spoke ill. He radiallahu ta'ala anhu bought all these great things with the ordinary wealth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to follow the blessed sunnah of Holy Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam. But if it was a Madani channel, when thinking about halal and haram, especially income, one person who comes to mind is Imam Azam, Hazrat Nu'man bin Thabit, Hazrat Abu Hanifa radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Now Hazrat Imam Azam Abu Hanifa radiallahu ta'ala anhu, I remember he's one of the 4 Imams of the Ahlul Sunnah, the 4 great Imams. One is Nu'man bin Thabit, the greatest of them all. He's also considered a tabi'i. Hazrat Nu'man bin Thabit Abu Hanifa radiallahu an. Another is Hazrat Imam Malik bin Anas radiallahu an. Another is Hazrat Imam Muhammad ibn Idris al-Shafi'i radiallahu an. And the 4th Imam is Hazrat Imam Ahmad ibn Muhammad ibn Hanbal radiallahu an. All 4 Imams, all 4 of these medievals, inshallah, great individuals, and we love each and every single one of them. And these are 4 Imams of the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Yes, all 4. There was no difference in opinion when it came to aqidah or belief, the creedal issues, my dear viewers, but rather there was a difference in jurisprudence. And this is why, mashallah, it's even stated that in difference of opinion, there is mercy, the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, the greatest of all these Imams, known as Imam Azam, and this is known as Abu Hanifa, Hazrat Imam Abu Hanifa radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and this is why many people around the world, myself too, and many people, mashallah, are known as Hanafi or the Ahnaf, those who follow Hazrat Imam Azam Abu Hanifa radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Now, when thinking about halal and haram, we think about Imam Azam Abu Hanifa radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Really, personally, me. Because especially when it comes to business, when it comes to income, there are many people, and you know, there are many different jobs, people who work in different fields. But one, I would say, clothing, especially speaking in this country. Now, in this country, we don't find very much. Yes, we do have it. We do have it that people buy a cloth people will buy a cloth. And you do find this in many Asian shops. But generally, the clothing that we wear is normally pre, or sometimes we get a specific fitting and you're just giving it to the tailor. But it's, you're really purchasing, let's just say, a clothing. Okay, but it's a little big, so then you'll give it to them, to the tailor, and you'll tell them to maybe change a few things in it. This is how it works. But in other places, and this you find more in other countries, where you purchase a cloth and then you have the cloth made. And this is how we have our traditional salwar kameez, as we call it, or the jubba, etc. So rarely do people get ready-made ones, although that's becoming a norm too. What's the reason I'm saying this? The reason I'm saying this, my dear viewers, is because clothing is not much of a brilliant example for this day and age, but rather other things. And one example I would say is selling cars. Selling cars. What happens, and I've seen many people who, when they're selling cars, the majority of the time, and one person said to me, he was also, I don't know if he's still a car dealer, but he says, working in the car business, that's buying and selling cars, he says it's very, very difficult. It's nearly impossible for a person to be able to sell a car without lying. And then you would think, and remember, my dear viewers, that there are many different people, and it's not really impossible. It's not impossible. Of course, it's possible. There are many people who do this in a brilliant, and mashallah, they're very, very trustworthy, and they do this without lying whatsoever. But this is the experience of one person, and I've seen many people that when they are buying and selling cars, especially those who are selling, they tell so many lies to get more money, of course. Like, oh, it's only had one previous owner, or, you know, it used to be, or I bought it a gift for my missus, or etc. You know, people make up all sorts of lies. And then they sell those cars. And why? Because they could get more money out of them. They could get more and earn more money. Now, earning money by lying, by deceiving others. And there are some people who, astaghfirullah al-azim, honestly, the limits they go to with cars, they'll purchase a car which is wrecked, they'll, you know, fix it, or it look like it's fixed, or there's some problem with it, and they would never inform the person. Okay, they let them drive it, and that person while driving it possibly wouldn't realize. And then when they sell the car, they wouldn't sell it next to their own home or anything, at their own dealership or anything. They would sell it somewhere in the street and they'll sell it online. So when the person who comes to purchase the car, he'll purchase it at another place and then he could never get back in contact with that person. So what you've just done is you've just deceived a person. Later when they find out, they have nobody to turn back to. You've just deceived a person. And sometimes purchasing a car, most of the time, it costs thousands of pounds. It costs thousands of pounds. And then they realize that it's got a major problem with it. Allahu Akbar. Now, you must remember that you shall be asked about these things on the Day of Judgment. Everything you do, you will be asked on the Day of Judgment. You shall be questioned. So, and it's not only people who deal in cars, whatever it may be. If you are selling defective things, then really you need to worry. You need to be worried. You need to, that money you have, you need to try to get in contact with those people. You need to return their money. You need to return their money, my dear viewers. If you've sold them such a car which, you know, has so many problems with it and they're not even able to drive, etc. And this is what happened many a time, honestly. People take thousands of pounds for cars. And they'll, you know, act as if the car's fine and it'll be working for some time, but there's so many problems with it that, you know, a person's not informed. Sometimes they lie. Oh, this, you know, there's no problem, etc. It's working completely fine. And they deceive a person. And you get all types of people. And some people, they just, you know, if a person thinks, oh, yeah, this person, he looks like a nice person, they listen. And then later, that's it, they've lost everything. Imagine the harm you put such a person through. I was speaking about Imam Azam Abu Hanifa, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when it came to business, he would deal in textiles, clothing. He said he was so brilliant that, you know, at the age of 5, just by looking at a cloth, he was able to determine its worth. This is Imam Azam Abu Hanifa radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So he was, you know, he was a brilliant entrepreneur, if you wish to say. He was a brilliant businessman. And as Imam Azam Abu Hanifa radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said about him that he had rules. Yes, he had rules. One of his rules, and if you are able to adopt this, honestly, how possible it is, Allahu Alam. But it's of course possible, but meaning how difficult it is, Allahu Alam. I've never been in such a situation. I don't really sell things. I'm a bit spoiled like that, you can say, where sometimes even if I purchase the wrong thing, I'll just go and give it to somebody. I wouldn't sell it. I'm not much of a selling person. Neither have I ever tried. But alhamdulillah, it saved me at least. It saved me from, you know, telling lies and all sorts of things, because this is what happens many a time. Now, Imam Azam Abu Hanifa radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was a person of rules. What was his rules? One of his rules, my dear viewers, was that he would never even praise his own items. One of his rules was that he would not praise his own items. It's said that once one of his people with him, Hazrat Hafs, rahimahullah ta'ala, Hazrat Imam Azam Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah ta'ala, he would say to Hazrat Hafs, rahimahullah, many times, he would say, you know, there's this piece of cloth, go to such and such person, you know, sell this. And other times, go to such a person and, you know, give him this and take this much amount of money, whatever it may be. And Hazrat Abu Hafs, rahimahullah ta'ala, sometimes Imam Azam Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah, would say to him, take this cloth, but for this cloth, there's this defect in this cloth. There's this defect. Now, when you do take this person to, when you do take this cloth to that person, then make sure you tell them that, you know, there's this defect in the cloth. So make sure they're aware of it. And then, if whatever money is agreed upon, etc., then take that money. But make sure you do tell that person. And sometimes this would happen too. But once, just Imam Azam Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned a particular defect. And he told him, go give it to such and such person, but tell him about the defect. He went, he gave it to the person, but he forgot to tell him about the defect. That person's given him the money, he's returned now. And then Hazrat Imam Azam Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah ta'ala, he asked, did you tell him about the defect? He said, oops, I forgot to tell him. Hazrat Imam Azam Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah ta'ala, not just for that cloth, but all of his earnings. There's a few different occasions. Sometimes it's stated, all of the earnings for the entire day, he gives in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My dear viewers, this, you know, these are such individuals. There are many more examples, especially when it comes to Imam Azam Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah ta'ala. Many examples which could be given. And in fact, because nowadays there's so much interest on things, I'll mention another beautiful example. There's this one person who he owed Hazrat Imam Azam Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah ta'ala, some money. I can't remember exactly how much money this was, but it was a large amount of money. There was a lot of money here he was owed. And it was a very, very hot day. And Imam Azam Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah ta'ala, he said there was somebody with him. And he said, okay, let's sit over here in the shade. So they sat down in the shade. And then they mentioned, you know, whose place is this? Whose shade it is under which we are sitting? And the person mentioned somebody's name. And he said, this is so-and-so's. Imam Azam Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah ta'ala, he quickly stood up. He did not need permission to sit in a shade, no. But he quickly stood up and he moved. The person said, what's wrong? He says, this person owes me money. This person owes me some money. And if I sit in his shade, I'm taking some sort of benefit from him. And I fear of taking any sort of interest. Allahu Akbar. Look at this, my dear viewers. When we do somebody a favor, when somebody owes us money, we take our full advantage of that. You know, okay, you will say that, but one thing is taking interest itself is not our haram. But what's interest? Interest is taking extra money or extra whatever it may be. That would be interest, wouldn't it? That's what would constitute interest. Sitting in the shade of that person's tree or something wouldn't be interest. It wouldn't, would it? But this is what care, this is the Imam Azam Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah ta'ala, he went through. What do we do? We'll, you know, make the most of, oh, he owes me money anyway, so it's okay. And these are his, no problem. He owes me money anyway. And when it comes to him paying the money, they're not going to decrease the money. They're going to take the same amount of money. Allahu Akbar. My dear viewers of Madinah, these were the, you know, the awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These were the awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is how careful they were when it came to the things which are halal or which are haram. They were very, very careful. Some things that we say, oh, it doesn't matter. This is what we say. We're like, it doesn't matter. You know, it's all right. And some people say, mazallah, you know, it's very, very wrong. Some people say, it's okay, you know, there's no problem. And people, and this is misunderstanding things. And Allah Ta'ala forgives, the one who forgives. Yes, Allah Ta'ala is the one who forgives, but Allah Ta'ala is also the one who punishes. Please remember this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is also the one that shall bring disgrace to you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is also the one that shall ruin you. Allah Ta'ala, yes, is also the merciful. But if you continue to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then medievals, we've spoken previously, haven't we, that the yes is hope, but there's fear too. Both hand in hand. Both must be considered. It must be at an equilibrium. It shouldn't just be, you know, we have one or we don't have the other. But these people, they had fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As the Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmahullah ta'ala was very, very careful as to whatever income it may be, where it came from. Whether it was halal or whether it was haram, whether it was permissible or if it was not permissible. Those people who would even give him food, who did it come from? You know, was it his own child? Was it his own student? Where does the student gain money from? They wouldn't even take it from government, etc. That's a separate matter. But they would be very, very careful as to whatever they were eating and where that came from. You know, some people, they would even regurgitate. They had eaten it, they would regurgitate the food. Allahu Akbar. So we must be very, and there are many ramifications mentioned. Remember, the income, the halal or haram, whatever we eat, this has an effect on our actions too. This has an effect on our children too. And subhanAllah, there are many examples to be given. Let's first go to the daily hadith sharif, and then inshallah we shall speak some more on this. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Today, people rate those who are philanthropists very highly. Those who donate towards good causes, the charitable people. And often, the philanthropists are those who are very wealthy and affluent as well. But the deen of Islam is so beautiful that you don't have to be a millionaire to be considered sakhi, generous. If you give something, even though you yourself need it, or if you have less wealth, or you're not in a position to give a large amount of it, but you give some of it in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you're considered a generous person. If you've got a habit of giving like this in the way of Allah. In fact, some of the most generous people you will find amongst the Muslims are those who have strong iman. They're not millionaires, but alhamdulillah, they know the rewards of giving in the way of Allah. They know the rewards of generosity. They read that the Prophet ﷺ was the most generous. The Prophet ﷺ didn't live a life of luxury. He could have, but he would give everything he had in the way of Allah. He would distribute it amongst people. And remember, being generous is a praiseworthy quality. All humans praise this quality. But Allah Ta'ala loves this quality so much that you gain His proximity when you are generous. Let's listen to a hadith. This is in Tirmidhi. Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiyallahu anhu narrates, the Prophet ﷺ said, As-sakhiyu qareebun min Allahi, qareebun min al-jannah, qareebun min al-nas. That the sakhi, the generous person, is close to Allah, close to Jannah, and he's close to the people. Ba'idun min al-nar. And he is distanced from the fire of hell. Wal-bakhilu. And as for the opposite, the bakhil, the stingy person, ba'idun min Allah. He's distant from Allah. Ba'idun min al-jannah. He's distant from paradise. Ba'idun min al-nas. He's distant from the people. The people don't really like him as well. Qareebun min al-nar. And he's close to the hellfire. Wala jahilun sakhiyun ahabbu ila Allahi min aabidin bakhilin. Allahu Akbar. Look at these words. The Prophet ﷺ said, a sakhi, a generous person who is jahil, he's ignorant, is more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than an aabid, a person who constantly worships, but at the same time he is stingy. He is a bakhil. Allahu Akbar. So if Allah has granted us, whether it's little or a lot, try and give wholeheartedly in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are so many worldly benefits, But you've just heard the benefits in the Akhirah as well. People will love you in the world. Allah Ta'ala will grant you His qurbah. You'll be close to Jannah and distance from the fire of hell. May Allah give us tawfiq to be generous.
By the grace of Allah. By the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-Habib. Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam. That was the daily hadith of Mashallah Azza wa Jal. I reviewed some verses from the glorious Quran. Translation from Kanzul Iman is, eat from the sustenance which Allah Azza wa Jal has given to you, the lawful and the pure, and fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in whom you believe. In another verse of the glorious Quran, it states, and the translation from Kanzul Iman is, O mankind, eat from what is lawful and pure in the earth, and do not follow the footsteps of the devil. Undoubtedly, he is your open enemy. Now, both verses, as well as many other verses of the Quran, they tell us what to eat from those things which are halal. And he also mentions pure. And mashallah, respected Mufti Qasim Sahib, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless him, they have told us as to what it means by halal and pure. What does it mean? Is that thing which in itself is halal. For example, vegetables. Now, vegetables themselves are halal, aren't they? Goat meat. Goat meat itself is halal, isn't it? So he says that it is those things which in itself is halal, such as goat meat, vegetables and lentils, etc. And which is also obtained in a lawful or by means of something which is lawful, by a lawful means. And it's not something which is obtained by what? Theft, bribery, robbery, etc. These things are considered halal. So it must itself be halal. It's not that, okay, you've purchased alcohol, but you've purchased it, you know, completely normally without doing anything wrong. You've purchased it, you still think it's halal. No. Why? Because the thing itself is not halal. Or it could be something which in itself is halal. Fruit. All fruit are halal, aren't they? Let's just say this is a piece of fruit. And you purchased a fruit, but you purchased it in a haram means. You robbed it. Not even purchased it. You robbed it, let's just say. You stole it. Then this would not be halal and tayyiba. It would not be halal for you to eat, my dear viewers. Although the fruit in itself is halal. So remember, we must be very, very considerate with those things which are halal and haram. I like to mention, subhanAllah, it states that this is a beautiful example given by Hazrat Yahya ibn Mu'az, rahmallahu ta'ala. Hazrat Yahya ibn Mu'az, rahmallahu ta'ala, what does he say? He states that obedience is hidden in the divine treasure and dua is the key to the door leading to this treasure. Halal food is the teeth of the key. SubhanAllah, I'm going to mention all again. Obedience is hidden in divine treasure. And dua is the key to this divine treasure. Dua is the key to this divine treasure. So remember, for obedience, which is the treasure, we require the key, don't we, to that treasure. What is the key? The key is dua. And then he states that halal food is the teeth of the key. Now, but you know, for every key, it has its teeth, doesn't it? And he states what? Halal food is the teeth of the key. If the key has no tooth or no teeth, then the door of the treasure cannot be opened. Meaning the door of obedience, it cannot be opened. Then how could one manage to gain access to obedience, which is hidden within it? Therefore, protect, meaning be careful about the morsel that you eat and purify your meal so that you will find nur, light of your virtuous deeds. Not the darkness of bad deeds after you have died. Refrain from the sin of consuming haram so that you could gain the pleasure of the unlimited, the never-ending blessing. My dear viewers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated, كُلُوا وَشْرَبُوا هَنِيئًا بِمَا أَسْلَفْتُمْ فِي الْأَيَّامِ الْخَالِيَةِ The translation from Kanz al-Iman is eat and drink with pleasure, the reward of what you sent ahead in the past days. Now, this example given by Yahya ibn Mu'adh rahimahullah ta'ala is a beautiful example. Obedience is what's required, isn't it? To attain ultimate salvation, eternal salvation, we require. What is a prerequisite? What does he state? What is the key? Yes, dua is a key. But what is the teeth of the key? The teeth of the key is what? Halal food, halal sustenance. So remember, all those people, there are many people who say, you know, I do so many du'as, my du'as are not accepted. We need to question ourselves. Hazrat Sa'd radiallahu ta'ala an, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, you know, he asks, how is it that my du'as can be accepted? Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala states, ya Sa'd, that purify your intake of your food, etc. Takun mustajab da'wa. You shall become mustajab da'wa. What's mustajab da'wa? Such a person whose du'as are, you know, very, very quickly accepted, whose du'as, whatever supplication a person makes, are very, very quickly attained, inshallah azzal. So what is the criteria given to by Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam to one of the companions? What was it? It was purify your intake. Purify your intake. Make sure your means, whatever you are taking, whatever you are intaking, make sure it is halal. And for those that earn haram, Allahu Akbar. For those that earn haram, it said that, you know, on the day of judgment, what will happen is a person, my dear viewers, inshallah, their own wife, their own children, their own family would come. Their own family would come and they would complain. They'll say that this person he fed is haram, we didn't know. And you would be punished. And, you know, right now we do, what do? We do what, you know, we're earning, and sometimes we're earning haram for who? For our family, for our children, to give them more and more. We need to think, what we are giving them, is it halal or is it not halal? Allahu Akbar, may Allah Ta'ala help us, my dear viewers. What we are giving to our family, is it halal, is it haram? These are things we must consider, we must think about. Because on the day of judgment, it may be that we are being questioned. That we are being questioned. It is our own family that is complaining that this person who used to feed us with haram. What will we say on the day of judgment? Allahu Akbar. We must be very, very careful when it comes to those things which are halal, those things which are haram. You know, you could do as many du'as as you want. If your intake is haram, if it's not halal, it's going to cause you problems. Allahu Akbar. There's also, you know, it's mentioned that a time will come when a person will go from one mountain to another mountain. You could go from one cave to another cave. You would, you know, travel one place to another, meaning you would travel, you would try to, you know, earn. And he will see chaos at the hands of his very own family, whether that be his wife or children, or whether that be a person's own parents or whoever it may be, even if they're our parents, a person's neighbors and friends. Why? Because they would make him despise poverty. They would make him feel ashamed of being poor. This is why. Because a person would be ashamed to be feeling poor. So he would wish to attain money. He would wish to attain wealth, to seek wealth. And how would he seek this wealth? He would go up to haram places. And many times, this is what happens. Many times, it's our very own family. Oh, you know, what are you doing? If a person, you know, he's very, very careful. And I don't wish to earn haram, so for this reason, I'm doing this. Maybe a person has lost his job or something. Or maybe a person himself, he resigned because he's thinking, oh, this job is not halal. And now he doesn't have a job. And people will say, oh, you know, his own family will say to him, oh, it doesn't matter, oh, you know, this is your state. This is how you are. Is this how you want to continue to be? You just this little job with only a small amount of money. And then it would make a person feel ashamed of poverty, of being poor, or of having less money. A person would be feeling ashamed, and then a person would turn towards those things which are impermissible, those things which are not halal, those things which are haram. Allahu Akbar. Remember, there are many examples, subhanAllah, which can be given. What you must remember is that halal and haram have been set out. We have been given this from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. those things which are halal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all-knowing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all-wise. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has knowledge of all things. Those things which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has permitted for us, no doubt are good for us. And those things which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made haram, there is a reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made them haram. They are not good for us. You may think, oh yeah, we can gain money very quickly. That's fine. You may gain money very quickly, but that money may be the means and the reason for your destruction. So remember, whatever is halal, whatever is haram, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said is haram, has prohibited it, then why would we wish to go anywhere near such things? Those things which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did, the sunnahs, those are the best of things, my dear viewers. So, and this is one of the beauties of the religion of Islam, is everything has been laid out for us. Everything. Whatever questions you may have, subhanAllah, there's always answers for that. We find it within the Quran, within the sunnahs, the ulama, rahimahumullah. They teach us all these things. Everything can be found. And, you know, subhanAllah, there's barakah in halal money. This is another thing, but subhanAllah, we have no time. Time has come to an end. In halal money, in halal income, it may be less. There's barakah in it. This is something we must remember. Allahu Akbar, a person becomes satiated with just a little amount. You know, you'll have peace, you'll have peace of mind, and you'll gain blessings in a household. Whereas many times people have so much wealth, but it brings them no barakah. Allahu Akbar, a person does remain worried and, you know, they remain in chaos and difficulty and hardship. Nevertheless, that's all for today. Inshallah, we shall be returning to May Allah Ta'ala take us all to Makkah and Medina Sharif. Inshallah, continue to send salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib. Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine, and the sun will rise and shine.